Every one of us wants to step up and make a difference. No? Yeah, everybody wants to. We heard from the ladies in their stories. You know, I invite some people, but I get kind of a meh, or worse probably. But we want to. We want to make a difference, and in life in general, we want to have impact. And we have faith at first. Sometimes, though, it takes a long time to see it come about. And it may be easy to say, well, has God forgotten? For example, maybe you encountered God in a fresh way last weekend at the Free and Encountered conference. But you go on and life is much the same. You still experience the same challenges, some of the same difficulties in life and your circumstances. Those don't just go away when you follow Jesus. How do you keep on? How do you keep faithful? Do you give in to fear, anxiety, doubt, or keep on trusting the promises of God? This is not a new issue. In Jerusalem, over 5.5 centuries before Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the people there faced a similar kind of question, and God spoke to them through a prophet named Haggai. You think that's interesting? The governor was named Zerubbabel. But through Haggai, God spoke to these people. They were investing and had invested a lot of time in rebuilding nice houses for themselves, investing a lot in business, working the neglected land. It had been lying dormant for decades, and now they're back, and they're doing all these good things. But God had spoken to them and said, you're not worshiping me. And for a couple of decades, after returning, they had put worship of the Lord on hold. And things weren't going well. But God had spoken to them through Haggai. They had re-engaged. They had started in at rebuilding the temple of the Lord. But still, they needed another reminder and more encouragement to keep on trusting. God had sparked their enthusiasm. But you know how enthusiasm goes sometimes? Like this? Like this. And so Haggai comes to them again. It's the 18th of December. Why doesn't good activity always bring us close to God? We heard something about that. On December 18th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The Lord of Heaven's armies, by the way, Lord of hosts, probably refers to the Lord of all heaven's angels. Mighty and powerful. He's the one we ultimately deal with. He said, ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying some meat from a holy sacrifice in his robes, and his robe happens to brush against some bread or stew, wine or olive oil or any other kind of food, will it also become holy? The priest replied, no. No is the whole sentence, by the way. And then Haggai asked, if someone becomes ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person, for example, there were many ways to become ceremonially unclean, and then touches any of these foods, will the food be defiled? And the priest answered, yes. You're making a point here. So meat offered to God, it was from a sin offering for the people. And it was holy. It just was exclusively God's. But he's saying, if you're carrying that, and the priests would carry it in the folds of their robes, and their robe happened to brush against some of the other food that was there, that didn't transfer. The priests were holy. The sacrifice was holy. But you don't get to know God by association with your family, your long-term history in the church. Dr. Otto says the word holy is used in the Bible as a synonym for God sometimes. Set apart, exclusive. The Holy of Holies was the central part of the temple, the tabernacle, before that, where they met God, the priests met God, and so it's exclusive. It doesn't translate through externals. For example, my grandma was a Christian, therefore I must be too. No, your grandma may well have knew Jesus, but it doesn't translate. My story was a little like Shemi's. I grew up in a Christian home and then one day realized, but I don't know Jesus. And I met him. Oh, on the other hand, the uncleanness of the world can translate. It can transfer to us. So to our culture's view that everybody gets to define his or her own identity and define what meaning in life is. And that's the norm in our culture. And there are some parts of that are helpful. But at its core, it's not the core truth. Rather, at the core, this idea of holiness needs to be reintroduced to us in that kind of culture where we pretty much say we're our own gods. So at its core, being holy means we have an exclusive relationship with God. This is the exclusive relationship. By way of illustration, a little bit like what God intends for marriage, one man, one woman exclusively committed to each other in intimacy. Nobody else gets to enter that relationship. And so it is with God. Another way of saying it again is it's an exclusive relationship with Him. Moses illustrated this. He spoke for God and said, I will also turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution by putting their trust in mediums or in those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will cut them off from the community. So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. They were religious people, but they also dabbled in other stuff. They were living for their own desires. And we do this when we think we know better than God does how to find love, joy, peace. It's possible to try to change just by adopting new disciplines or getting busier for God. And discipline helps. But it doesn't change our hearts. The externals don't rub off, don't brush holiness into our spirits, into our souls, onto our bodies. It doesn't work that way. We can get caught up in the exterior things. That's his message to them. Bill Thrall quotes a man named Frank Brock, who took over the family, you would love to be in this business, the family candy-making business. The problem is, you can't wait for dessert, right? The family candy-making business was not doing well. Morale was down on the floor. The stock was sinking. Business was poor. And Frank wondered what was going on, so he started asking people on the floor, shop floor, what's going on? He had a Harvard degree, but he didn't know how to solve the problem. And at first, people didn't trust this new CEO. And finally, the chief baker opened up and said, look, if you want to know what's wrong, just ask my kids. He said, what do you mean? Well, he said, the former CEO told us to put some crushed candy scraps into each bag of candy to keep the weight of it up. And he said, they're not selling because people know it's not for real. You buy it by weight, but you're not getting what you pay for. And so Frank ordered this practice stopped immediately. The point is, as a longtime follower of Jesus, and maybe you relate to this, I know the temptation to just live by the exteriors. the externals. We know how to act. We know what to do. Or we might think, well, if this isn't really successful or doesn't appear effective or successful at church, whatever that is, if worship doesn't look really good, or if it doesn't appear like the numbers are really up this Sunday, etc., etc., then we're not being impressive enough. And Haggai's coming at this. And he says, look at what's happened to you. We need to ask ourselves that sometimes. What's happening in my soul? Are you growing in the joy of knowing God? Are you living from the inside out? Or are we caught in the pursuit of the exterior things? You know, just hoping, well, we're going to brush up against the holy robe, and that might be good enough. We might try and pursue that by religious busyness. The Apostle Paul told Timothy something shocking about what to expect from church in the last days. The last days are all the days from the time Jesus came as a child, as a baby, to when he will return. These are the last days we are in, and he wrote this. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Now, it's easy to brush past all these warnings and say, well, yeah, that world is sure like that. My workplace is like that. But the problem is, Paul was writing to Timothy about his work in the church. It's written to the church. We become religious actors instead of people being transformed. Busyness doesn't address greed, scoffing, lack of gratitude, unforgiveness, slander, cruelty, hatred, pride, pleasure worship, or phoniness. Good activity doesn't bring us close to God. You've got to kneel down before you step up. You've got to kneel down before you step up, brother, sister. And why are efforts so disappointing sometimes? Haggai responded, this is how it is with this people in this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by their sin. That's ugly. Look at what was happening to you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. What you hoped for a 20-bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refused to return to me, says the Lord. Now, why would God remind them of the bad times? Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled by sin. Joyce Baldwin points out, Israel was set apart as holy to the Lord. But they were ignoring the Lord who'd given them everything. And now the temple in ruins, neglected, was like a corpse in the middle of their community. How could they, as unclean, rebellious people, ever fix it? Impossible. Except for the mercy of God. The mercy of God. It didn't matter how hard they had worked at the land, at their business, building their big houses. They weren't bringing the sacrifice of praise to God. They weren't living lives of worship of the Lord. And none of the other things they did bore any fruit, or at least it minimized it. It was harmful. And granted, they had faced tough obstacles, and you and I do too. And in their case, The neighboring nations were hostile, and they had lobbied the emperor, the former emperor, Artaxerxes, and said, stop these people from rebuilding this temple. And he said, yeah, stop that. So they did. And we face obstacles to worship, don't we? And distractions. There's so much going on. There's so much to be done. And sometimes these things take over our thoughts. And then it's easy to quit. Just neglect the Lord in daily life. But he's called us to himself. Him first. Him first. We're his. And so when we give up, instead of turning to him in worship in what we're facing and seeking him with all our hearts, we miss the truth that his deep, deep, deep love for us is so great. And he offers, in fact, insists that he be Lord of it all. God steps in to get us back. He did with them. He bluntly said, I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy everything you worked so hard to produce. Even so, you refuse to return to me, says the Lord. You can do one of two things when you face the obstacles and the distractions. You can go, well, there's God for you. Or you can say, Lord, what do we need to remove from my soul? I'm not saying every time something bad happens, he's punishing us. That's not the point. But he does want us to remove rubble. We need to kneel down before we step up. There was a woman in Jesus' day that did this. She had an illness that not only made life miserable, it kept her unclean ceremonially. She couldn't go to worship. She couldn't be with the community. Couldn't go to the temple. But she refused to stay away from Jesus. And she elbowed her way through the crowd that was around him one day. He was in her town. And she got close to him and she touched the edge of his robe. And that power transferred. And she was healed immediately. And Jesus started to look around. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples are saying, are you kidding? There are people all around you. There's a crowd here. I don't know exactly all they said to Jesus. But sometimes they were pretty derelict and nasty. He said, no, someone touched me. He knew power had left his body. And this woman, scared out of her mind, came and knelt down before him and said it was her. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. The story's in Mark chapter 5. Kneel down before you step up. Come to Jesus with the burdens. Come to him with all of it. He just wants to live in all of it with you. Now, sometimes our work, even in trying to do ministry well, or our work well, or whatever it is well, parenting well, we feel like, man, I worked hard at that. I depended on God, but it didn't seem to go so well. You've had that moment, right? You go, what? How could I have done it differently? And maybe you couldn't have. But then here's the problem. It's possible then resentment sets in. Well, if only more people had supported me in that, church would have gone better today. Or if only God had stepped up. You ever been mad at God when things don't go well in your life? Oh, I'm all by myself in this one? Okay. Recently, this is a confession. Recently, the Lord revealed to me I needed to forgive him. Now, I know that sounds so absurd. There was a little part of my heart where I'm going, thanks. And it was a serious moment of saying, thank you for mercifully showing me that. Forgive me. I forgive you, Father. Because I have sinned by not trusting you. And so it's possible sometimes that we don't bring our hearts and we don't clear the rubble away, even when things don't go well because, well, we're just disappointed. And we end up dried up and kind of used up. We see minimal fruit. And we can't become clean through a bunch of rituals or even good disciplines, as important as they are. Even the sacrifices God required of Israel were only temporary measures until Christ could come. And the Bible says the sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship, even though this is what Haggai was telling them to do, and God accepted it as their worship. There was more to come through Christ. And for us, only worshiping Christ as the living Lord of all is the right place to live. Only there. Only Jesus. You got to kneel down before you step up. It's not just about better effort or more involvement. Even Peter echoes Haggai's call to repentance, and he says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy, exclusive relationship in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Scott McKnight quotes a guy named Joseph Epstein who wrote this: we all exist on at least three levels. There is the person as he or she appears in public. There is the person as he or she is known to intimates, family, and close friends. And the person deepest of all, who is known only to him or herself, all the aspirations, resentments, fantasies, and desires, and much else the public doesn't see. We get down to the foundation, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, of being transparent with God. This is worship, responding to the mercy of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God, we need to empty ourselves of the other gods and idols. This is worship. To get rid of the spiritual rubble, godless habits, sin, unforgiveness, an air of superiority over other people. The rubble. The biggest pile of rubble in Jerusalem was not in the unfinished temple. It was in the hearts of God's people. The rubble. You got to kneel down before you step up. You clear away the rubble through confession and forgiveness. Kneel down. You can do that right now. Let's take a moment. Holy Spirit, reveal our rubble as individuals. Is there rubble in us as a congregation? Forgive us. You name it to him. You confess it out. Just as a whisper to him, you confess it. The rubble you need to remove. And you say to that, in Jesus' name, rubble be gone. The cross stands between me and that rubble. We sang about that. The cross has cleared that away. The power of the blood of Jesus has cleared that away. It's gone when you confess it and leave it there. It's gone. You kneel down, then you can step up, and we enter into God's promised fullness. He says, think about this 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid down. Think carefully. I'm giving you a promise now where the seed is still in the barn. You have not yet harvested your grain or your grapevines, figs, pomegranates and olive trees have not yet produced their crops, but from now, from this day forward, I will bless you. Think carefully. He's saying, this is the date. Remember this. Mark it on the calendar. December 18th is when you finish setting down the foundation of the Lord. It wasn't complete. The temple wasn't finished. But the foundation was set down. The building wasn't the source of their restoration with God. But they cleared the rubble from their hearts and they'd made a step. Their hearts turned to God first, and then God assured them, because of this act of repentance, coming back to me, I'm going to bless you. The seed was still in the barn. They hadn't seen the great crops yet. They'd had poor crops for so long, and God is saying, no, you worshiped me first. And this is how it works. You're all in. This is an exclusive relationship, and I'm holy, and I'm going to bless you. They cleared the rubble. They got down to the foundation, transparent before God. That's worship. That's worship. Not holding things back from Him. That's worship in spirit and in truth. December 18th, take note in their decision to put God first. Through worship, put everything else in order. That's how it works. When everything else is put under Him, other things fall into place. Did I say life gets easy and it's a piece of cake? No. No, a piece of cake is only for dessert. We're talking about the main course here. It's not always easy. And it involves some waiting, but this is how it works. Only by accepting the loving promise of God could they keep on in His will. Will you reinforce the foundation of your life today? You've cleared away the rubble through confession. And will you praise the Lord and worship Him in the situation you find yourself in right now? Just praising the Lord. Tell Him that you want His will in your life in all things. You might say it like this. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Can we confess that out loud right now? Your kingdom come, Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. I can't hear you. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. That's holiness. That's holiness. Our souls need maintenance in the presence of Jesus. He said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. There it is. Bang. Nothing. But in me, there's fruitfulness. Jesus doesn't do everything for us. He ensures we can do anything He leads us to do. He doesn't do it all for us. They still had to cultivate, to plant. The early rains came, or the October to December rains came, softened the ground. They could plant seeds. They had work to do. It was seeding time in December. They had work to do. But God says, I'm going to prosper. I'm going to bless you. They worship first. He's always the vine. We are always the branches, and we may be fruitful as we learn to remain in Him through worship in everything. And keeping the rubble off, letting Him prune us. The Spirit of the Lord always has more to do in us, always more. Don't quit because of the obstacles or the distractions, and there's so many. We need maintenance. Paul described this in a beautiful way in Galatians chapter 5. This clearing away the rubble at the cross of Christ, this receiving renewal in the Spirit of God, and then walking with the Spirit. He said this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience. I don't know that we should pray for patience. I think we just come to the Lord and say, I'm not Lord, You are. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross. and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Anything else we put between or in place of walking with Jesus leads us into bondage. It never, never satisfies. It doesn't matter if it's drug addiction or workplace addiction or what it is. Nothing else. Nothing else satisfies us. Only Jesus. We kneel down before we step up. We receive His touch. Stanley Grenz shares an illustration of repentance. He said, maybe you learned to drive and were taught or had it modeled for you should drive faster than everybody else. You zip in and out of the lanes. You rip through the yellow light. And you think you're just a better driver. And one day, there's a near miss. You blow a red light, and you almost cause a fatality. And suddenly you realize, I am a dangerous driver. And you stop doing that. You slow down when you see the amber light. You drive the speed limit. You pass safely. He said, this is an illustration of repentance, real change. But you add to that faith in the power of God then to drive in His presence and for His glory, that He is present in all the things we do. Is there rubble you need to clear out of your soul today? Jesus is here to take it. He's been to the cross. You can lay it down at the cross. Let the cross be between you and the rubble. Do it. Do it today. And then ask the fullness of the Spirit to move in there and worship the living Christ in all parts of your life as priority. Peter wrote, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but He was chosen by God for great honor, and you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are His holy priests. Holy. You have an exclusive relationship with God, and through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Everything you do, your whole life, everything you do as a parent, a teacher, a plumber, a farmer, in business, everything you do is a spiritual sacrifice because your body, your mind, your spirit belongs to Him. That's how this works. We worship Him first, and so in response, we come to Christ, the living cornerstone. We bring the rubble to the cross, clear away our heart for worship. And we believe the promise of Jesus, and we remain in Him by worship in the middle of the circumstance. And we remain in Him, and we receive His power and His life. You kneel down before you step up. Anybody need to kneel down today before you step up? Anybody need to kneel down, clear away some rubble, worship Jesus in that part of your life where you are right now, where you're saying, well, when this clears up, I'll get to it. But no, God is saying, no, I need you today. I need you right. I want you to come right now. This is maintenance. We change oil. I change oil in my vehicle every 5,000 kilometers. How often do we clear away the rubble in our own souls? And just say, yeah, I need to just see what's happening here. The worship team is going to come and lead us as we respond. And we pray that the Lord helps us hear His voice. And I'm going to ask those from the prayer team or the elders board to come and just be available. Be available to pray if you want to come. Maybe you've got some rubble to clear away. Maybe you've got a situation that's too big to carry and you just need help in prayer. Let them serve you. Let us serve you. Or maybe you need God's touch on a circumstance or in your body. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us as we worship You in Jesus' name.